Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your host, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today, and how are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Well, listeners, we'd like to thank you for tuning in today. And on the Voice of Yoga today, we're going to be talking about your mind on yoga. Swami will be leading our discussion into the science of yoga and leading us into the anatomy and physiology of Kriya Yoga. Swami, well, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, the whole concept of mind in yoga is a really interesting concept because the concept of mind in yoga doesn't equal brain. In fact, when you cross-examine it and you look at the concept of mind, if how we think is what we become, our physical bodies are a manifestation of our minds. So there are parts of mind that actually make up the physical body. The mind is actually what makes up the mind. The concept of mind in yoga would be experienced with what we call your chakra system. And then the mind can also turn to your creative side, your imagination, this part of reality that is endless possibilities. So mind is a very complex subject with regard to the science of yoga. And like we were saying, your mind can be in the body. The conscious part of awareness can be in the physical body. The conscious part can be in the mind, and the mind can turn to your creative side. And so the whole concept of yoga being union of the individual with the divine, I always remember years ago there was a Swami Ramatirtha who had said, if you take a particle of water and you separate it from the source, it becomes stagnant, toxic, and putrefied. And the same is true with humans. When we are disconnected from this source, from this secret source of sustenance, it becomes the origins of all of our problems. And the whole intention of yoga was to train the mind to look for this concept of source or spirit, and then of course to train the body to serve the mind with that image in mind. And when matter and mind come together with this other energy field or this secret source of sustenance, then something starts to happen to our minds. And in yoga has a way of explaining all of that, because in yoga we use a three-body system. You have a physical body, you have an astral mental body, and you have a causal spiritual body. And the way that the conscious mind moves through these different aspects of your makeup was they have what they call a sheath system. That is basically throttling and regulating mechanisms that will connect and at the same time separate these three different fields of realities, these different dimensions of our makeup. And so what enables the conscious mind to move from the physical to the mental to the spiritual aspects is that it's able to move on these sheaths or through these sheaths, this connective tissue. And the way that we kind of explain that is that, you know, right now you can put awareness in your right foot. And you can have total awareness of what's going on in your right foot. You can now turn your mind and try and figure out what you have in your refrigerator. Now, while you're rummaging through your refrigerator, you have no awareness of what's going on in your right foot. You have no idea of what's going on in the room that you're in. And then, of course, the other use of the mind is that you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination, endless possibilities, the void, the nothing out of which everything comes. And so a big part of trying to understand yoga and the concept of, you know, what does it look like when my mind is connected to this secret source of sustenance, when I'm connected to my creativity, my imagination, endless possibilities. And the way that it kind of works is that when you understand yoga, and what we have been talking about is this whole concept of the separation theme. You know, that this whole thing that we must separate from one source of sustenance and reconnect to another. And what does that look like when I'm doing it? Because our original state of consciousness is what in mythology, they referred to it as chaos. Everything was in an intermingled state of confusion. And when we separate from our attachment to particles or waves, matter and mind, and we connect to this secret source of sustenance, this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, that internal connection ignites these sheath systems, which we refer to them as psychological organs. And so what happens to the conscious mind is that it literally, it compartmentalizes. There's this separation that happens. And you're able to make clear distinctions. And so the whole practice of yoga not only has physiological benefits, you know, because how we think is what we become. Your body is a diagram of your mind. But then it also has psychological and then even deeper mystical benefits. Because the connection to this source of sustenance, when matter and mind, when you train your mind to look for what you really do need, and you internalize the image in your body, then what it kind of reminds me of is if you've ever had like a trial version of a program, or sometimes programs in certain modes, you know, when you start to look at options, that you'll notice that some of the options are what they call ghost options. They're just kind of grayed out. They're visible, but they're not accessible. And I think that's what it's kind of like, you know, when an individual makes this connection to the divine, that all of a sudden these options, these capabilities start to show themselves. And how it starts to play out is basically how we think is what we become. But it all starts with, in yoga, what we call control, yama. And it's not manipulation, but it's self-control, self-mastery. And so coming back to just the science of yoga and how we're employing strategies to do something, and that it is this connection to this source of sustenance that makes the whole thing happen. And then what we try and look at is what does it look like when I'm trying to do it without the connection?
you mentioned earlier about the seven major chakras and using the mind and so forth. How does one use the mind to regulate the chakras, or what is it that we're trying to do with that energy system?
Yeah, the way that the whole thing works is it's kind of like, you know how pure light, white light, passes through a prism, and it breaks off into seven different colors. So the higher voltage of spirit, this unified absolute state, passes through the lens of the mind, and then that steps down the vibration or the frequency of spirit, and then it produces this lower vibration of matter. And so the mind is really your creative principle. You know, that how we think is what we become. And then the lowest vibration of matter, which is the part that is tangible, that is a direct result of, I want to say, the shaping that comes from the mind. So a big part of understanding your chakra system is understanding how we're thinking on all of these different levels. You know, because just like the white light breaks off into seven different colors, we have these seven energy converters. And a big part of the yoga practice is learning your chakra system, learning how it spins off into different departments of your life. And then the way that we utilize it is typically, you know, what surrounds us is within us. So you use clues from the tangible part. You can use your physical body if you have, you know, pain, discomfort, instability in your physical body, then there are thought patterns in your mind that are actually manifesting that. And so where the correction has to take place, it has to take place in your chakra system. So a big part of your path of knowledge is you learn the chakra system, you learn how the mind works, and then what you're able to do in the framework of your practice is use your mind to affect changes. Because if there are thought patterns that are producing undesirable states, you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination, endless possibilities. You can change your thoughts, and then you try and internalize the new image in the body. Now, with repetition comes absorption. You know, that's why a big part of your yoga practice, that's one of the reasons why it's so important that we use the physical body. Because the body is your temple. The body is your barometer. It gives you the tangible clues that we are seeking to help us understand what's happening in my mind.
So a person would have to first know that they have some type of a negative thought or negative feeling or something like that. They'd have to recognize it first. And then would they have to associate that with one of the certain chakras? And then from there, then they can, what you were saying, turn to their creative side and then come up with a solution to change that thought?
Yeah, to answer your question, that's what you have to do. First order of business is you have to recognize the thought. Then the next part is you have to change it. You know, because that's the whole definition of insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting a different return. That's what we talked a little bit about, I want to say, I think it was like in last week's or maybe the week before, is the concept of release. You know, that if you find a negative thought, you release. Well, that's way too passive. See, the only way to affect a change is you have to change the thought, you have to replace it, and then the other part is you have to re-record it in the body. And that's why, you know, a big part of your asana program is working the relationship between what's going on in your body and what's going on in your mind.
Okay, great, Swami. I want you to hold that thought. We are going to take a pause right now to hear a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return of the whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. With me is Swami Jayananda from Institute for Personal Development. Swami, thanks for coming back. We were discussing our mind on yoga, and can you talk to us about how does that relate to the ultimate human experience?
Well, yeah, coming back to the concept of total consciousness, you know, and we talked a little bit about this last week, that initially our conscious minds are small. And when the mind is small, our field of awareness is narrow. And when you have a narrow field of awareness, there's a huge portion of your reality that's outside of your field of awareness. And so from that limited perspective, we feel like victims. Everything is happening to us. Now, the whole intention of yoga isn't just awareness, you know, because we're all aware. It's like we have been talking about. It is what we desire is going to determine our outcome. And that's why working with the physical body and the literal rebirthing of the body in this life force is the one dynamic that impregnates the seed of your mind. Now, when matter and mind come together with truth and wholeness, then it initiates a progressive cycle, and your mind will start to open. And as your mind starts to open, with that comes your field of awareness, and with that comes your scope of power. So you go from victim to creator. And it's not just, you know, an abstract concept. The reality of the whole thing is that it isn't magic. It's basic physics. It's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So it's the whole thing of, you know, coming back to what we have been saying, it's what we desire is going to determine what we will become. And if we desire particles, we become of a very limited animal nature. If we desire waves, we become of an equally limited human nature. But if we desire the void or the nothing, the life force or prana, then we become of a divine nature. And the whole benefit of the expanded field of awareness is that you are no longer the victim, but you are the creator of your reality.
we've been talking a lot about the differences between awakening and awareness. Can you review those differences with our listeners?
Well, I think these are terms that we've kind of adopted. You know, the concept of awakening, the concept of awareness are not the same as the concept of total consciousness. And those are some of the things that I think differentiate us at Institute for Personal Development from a lot of what is going on in our spiritual communities, is that we make clear distinctions. You know, that again, we're all aware, and on some level, we are all conscious. But what it is that we desire is going to determine our fate or the outcome. And because, again, coming back to if we desire things that are tangible, then our minds will remain small. You will still be aware or awake. Now, you can make a shift from awareness of particles or the material reality and move into the astral mental reality. And even you can take awareness and point it towards the causal spiritual reality. These are not difficult things to do. You know, even say, for example, the concept of daydreaming isn't too far removed from that. You know, just taking a conscious mind and putting it in another coordinate of consciousness, you know, just go to your happy place, is not that hard to do. But to expand the conscious mind, you know, where the individual now becomes divine, becomes spirit, becomes the part of themselves that is eternal, that requires the rebirthing of the body in the life force.
Well, I guess the big question then would be, what do I look like when I'm doing that?
Yeah, and again, it comes back to a lot of like what we were saying is the first order of business is that you have internal support. When you have now internalized what you really do need in your body as a symbol for validation, you know, one of the things that I always say, when breath becomes your party, when breath becomes your beloved, when your breath becomes your secret source of sustenance, then the panel is wired. But again, you know, it's not something that's going to happen to you. This is something that you have to make happen. You know, that was what the alchemists believed, that the concept of God wasn't perfect because nature, God's creation, wasn't perfect. And the origins of the word perfect is porna, meaning whole. And the alchemists knew that human beings had the potential to chronologically age and psychologically, spiritually remain in this underdeveloped state. That by just thinking, breathing, eating, sleeping, and fornicating, we would survive, but we do not grow. That in order for us to grow, that there had to be some tampering, there had to be a departure from instinct and appetite. And that's what every religion on this planet in its original format was a game plan to initiate this progressive cycle. You know, the term apotheosis that we talk about. But when matter and mind come together with this new information, then we initiate this progressive cycle. But the first order of business is that you have internal support. There is a calmness, a confidence, and a clarity that comes to your mind. but you have to purify your body in order to make that happen. And you have to consciously train your mind to look for something that is invisible and intangible. And then, through practice and repetition, you record, you change the reward circuits in the brain to look for this more subtle source of sustenance.
Would you say that participating in your Theory 1 class, that would give everybody the information that they would need to start this process?
Yeah, Theory 1 gives you all of the necessary information that you need in order to get your arms around it.
Then really the next step is really up to the practitioner, starting to purify the body, thinking right, breathing right, doing all those other things that we need to do to facilitate purification.
Well, again, it's not to facilitate purification, it's to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. The purification is the prerequisite. See, I think that's one of the pitfalls that we get into, is that we get wrapped up in the conduct and we lose the meaning and purpose behind it. It's really the connection. It's our connection to this source of sustenance that makes everything possible. And to try and do it without the connection is kind of like trying to clear your driveway with a snowblower without starting it up. You know, I mean, you'd be better off with a shovel. And that's where I think a lot of our spiritual institutions have failed so desperately, is that they got all bound up in conduct and not enough importance placed on the connection. Because it's the connection that makes it possible, and the connection that actually makes it pleasurable. Because being spiritual is not abstaining, it's not deprivation, it's not punishment, it's indulgence. It's a whole different ballgame when you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And if you don't understand the physics of that, then you get lost in intellectualism. You know, one of the things, you know, I always talk about is that one student one time who said to me, "I put God first, now give me a cigarette." Well, your body is still longing for this tangible source of sustenance. You intellectually think that you are spiritual, you think you love the Lord thy God, but the change hasn't gone deep enough. And so that's where I think our program really excels, in that, you know, we really have all of the important strategies in place so that you're not just trying to muscle your way through this, that you actually get the connection, you start to feel the benefit of internal support, and the rest of it is pretty easy.
Oh, great information, Swami. So we know that we just don't need to be spiritual on Sunday. It is our connection to spirit every day, regardless of what we're doing. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to The Voice of Yoga. We do encourage, again, any comments that you would like to send to us via email and Facebook, whatever it is your mode of social media is. And we encourage any questions, curiosities. Thank you so much, and everybody have a great day.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.